Ah, my friend, replied Benita, it's too late for regrets. We're so afraid of being deceived that we end up deceiving the services of Christ. I was listening to their conversation with growing interest, but my companion led me away to introduce me to new acquaintances. I was attentive to these pleasant tasks of Nosola Society, but so that I wouldn't lose out on an opportunity to learn, I continued eavesdropping on the conversations around me. A few gentlemen were carrying on a discreet exchange of opinions. I know that I failed, said one of them in a serious tone, and I have already expiated a great deal in the lower regions. Now I'm waiting for Providence to give me another chance. Do you think you lacked sufficient guidance? Asked another friend. "T'll explain," clarified the first. I lacked support from my wife. With her at my side, I felt a profound equilibrium in my psychic energies. I can't explain it, but her company compensated for all my expenditures of mediumistic energy. My sense of balance was in the hands of my dear Adelia. I forgot, though, that a good servant must be prepared to serve the Lord in any circumstance. I hadn't learned the science of compliance, nor had I resigned myself to traveling the human road alone. When death took my devoted wife from me, I became afraid because I felt unbalanced. I wrongly tried to replace her and was harmed. My second wife had a very strong connection to maleficent spirits, and in her derangement she drew me into sexual perversions of which I never suspected myself capable. I unfeelingly went back to fraternizing with perverse people. Having started well, I ended badly. My misfortunes were enormous. However, now that I realize my shortcomings, I understand that, even in the future, it will be very difficult for me to prevail without my beloved first wife. The conversation had become extremely interesting. I wanted to follow its progress, but Vicente called my attention to another matter and I had to join him. Headline: Joel's Experience. I went with Vicente to a corner of the room, where he addressed a pleasant-looking elderly man. So, my dear Joel, how are you today? Joel replied with a melancholic expression, thanks to divine goodness, I'm feeling much better. I've been receiving magnetic passes every day in the aid chambers in the Ministry of Assistance, and I feel much stronger now. Have the attacks of dizziness stopped? Asked Vicente with great concern. They're farther apart now, and when they do occur they don't afflict my heart as intensely as they used to. Vicente looked at me with his lucid eyes and said with a smile, Joel also did mediumistic work in the physical realm and has a very interesting tale to tell. Our new friend, who looked like a patient just starting to convalesce, smiled sadly and said, I gave it my best on earth, but I failed anyway. I wasn't up to the enormous struggle. What impresses me most about his case, interjected Vicente in a fraternal tone, is the malady that followed him here. It persists even now. Joel spent an extremely long, difficult time in the lower regions before returning to the Ministry of Assistance, persecuted by strange hallucinations regarding his past. His past? I asked, surprised. Yes, explained Joel, humbly. My role as a medium demanded a highly refined sensitivity, and when I committed myself to serving in that capacity, I went to the Ministry of Elucidation, where they gave me a special treatment that sharpened my perceptions. I was going to have to be in a perfect mental state to carry out my future duties. The assistants there acted very favorably on my behalf, and I left for Earth with all the requisites I would need to fulfill my obligations. But unfortunately, but why did you fail? I asked. Was it simply due to your sensitivity? Joel smiled and replied, no, I didn't fail because of my sensitivity, but because I used it wrongly. What do you mean? Puzzled. My friend, you should have no problem understanding this. It's hard to believe, but instead of helping others with such an important gift, I lost myself. The way I see it now, God grants heightened sensitivity as a kind of powerful lens, which its owner must use to discern the best route to take, determine dangers and opportunities along the way, and locate common obstacles in order to help his neighbor and himself. I did just the opposite. I didn't use my wondrous lens correctly. I allowed myself to be taken by an unwholesome curiosity, and used my lens only to increase my perceptions. Within the context of my mediumistic work, I was able to access people's past lives. It was supposed to be an indispensable talent given to me for serving the common good and for benefiting my neighbor, however, it was an ability that I did not respect as I should have. He paused for a moment, which only increased my desire to hear out his personal experience to the very end. He then continued in the same tone of voice, "At the first call from the higher planes, I rushed to help. I had a strong intuition about the promises I had made in Nosola. My mind was filled with sacred plans. I would work. I would spread the harmony of the eternal truths far and wide. However, as soon as I began my work, my heightened psychic state made the mechanism of my slumbering memories revolve like a record under a phonograph needle, and I remembered everything from my next to last existence, when I had donned the cassock under the name of Monsignor Alejandro Pizarro during the final years of the Spanish Inquisition. It was then that I began abusing the sacred lens that I mentioned earlier, the great pleasure of the feelings of power, which can be as harmful as using sense-numbing alcohol, caused me to forget my sacred duties. Acute spiritual clarity inspired me. My clairvoyance continued to develop, but I wasn't to be satisfied until I could once again see my visible and invisible companions from the arena of our former religious struggles. With no real concern for making the most of my true arena of constructive work, took it upon myself to find every one of them eventually, and I made a point of reconstructing their biographical records. My clairaudience became very clear, but I didn't want to listen to my spirit benefactors about tasks that would be truly helpful. Instead, I insolently questioned them regarding topics of my own selfish satisfaction. Engulfed in investigations concerning Spain of that era, I wasted an enormous amount of time, during which I fled from fellow spirits who appealed to me to work for the good of my neighbor. I demanded information on bishops, the political authorities of the time, and priest friends who had erred as much as I myself had. There was no shortage of considerate warnings. Colleagues from our spiritist group frequently called my attention to serious problems at our center. There were suffering persons who knocked on our door, situations that called for Christian witness. We had a shelter planned for orphans, a newly opened outpatient clinic, and most importantly, weekly gospel lessons on Tuesday and Friday evenings. But what did I care? I cared for nothing but my own personal discoveries. I had forgotten that the Lord had allowed me those memories not to satisfy my vanity, but so that I would understand the extent of my debt to the needy of the world and to hand myself over to the work of enlightening and comforting those who had been wounded by misfortune. Contrary to the expectations of the selfless friends who had helped me obtain this sublime opportunity, I was not at all inclined to fraternal cooperation and I took no interest in the consoling doctrine that today is reviving the gospel of Jesus. I only cared about finding those who had something in common with me from the past. With this objective in mind and with unmistakable proofs of identity, I discovered I had been connected with eminent personalities in former times. I recognized Higino de Salcedo, a great landowner who had been my magnanimous protector before the religious authorities of Spain. He was now reincarnated as an intelligent and honest proletarian, but was enduring a major personal sacrifice. Saw old Gaspar de Lorenzo again, a shrewd figure and cruel inquisitor. He had been very fond of me back then but was now reincarnated as a blind paralytic from birth. And in this fashion, my friend, I went through life from surprise to surprise, from sensation to sensation. I, who had been reborn with the ability to remember past lives in order to construct something useful, had transformed this ability into the corruption of my personality. I lost a blessed opportunity for redemption, and the worst thing is the state of madness in which I am now living. As a result of my error in judgment, my mind became unbalanced and psychic disturbances are an ongoing torture for me. I am undergoing long-term magnetic treatment. Joel suddenly became pale. His eyes opened extremely wide and began wandering as if focusing on impressive scenarios far removed from what we could see. He reeled, but Vicente quickly caught him, and putting his right hand on Joel's forehead, he said in a firm voice, "Joel. Joel. Don't succumb to images from the past. Come back to God's present." I was astonished to see the convalescent rub his eyes, having returned to his normal demeanor. Bellarmino the instructor. Such lessons were eminently profitable. They provided me with new knowledge, and above all, through them I acquired an increasing admiration for the goodness of God, who was granting all of us the chance to renew our learning experience for future service. Many of us had passed through purgatorial zones of darkness and inner torment, some more, others less. However, all we had to do was acknowledge our smallness and our immense debt, and there we all were, together in Nosso Lar, restoring depleted energies and re-establishing work plans. Help was blooming once again for all of us. No one felt left out. I noticed several mediums exchanging ideas regarding the panorama of their accomplishments, and I heard so many remarks about instructors that I asked Vicente discreetly, for my own spiritual growth, would it be possible to hear about the experiences of some knowledgeable instructor who might be staying here for a while? Gathering information from is. So many mediums is proving to be extremely beneficial. I don't think I should miss out on such an opportunity if there is one. Vicente thought for a minute and responded, "Let's go find Bellarmino Ferrer. He and I have been friends for a few months. I followed him through various groups. We found Bellarmino in a corner, talking to a friend. His serious face and slow gestures revealed great sadness in his humble gaze. Vicente introduced me and an instructive conversation ensued. After exchanging a few ideas, Bellarmino spoke with feeling, "So, my friend, would you like to learn about the afflictions of a failed instructor?" "I'm sure that's not the case," I replied, smiling. "I would like to hear about your experience, and also to gain something from your learned words." Ferry tried to force a smile that expressed all the remorse still smoldering in his soul, and said, "The mission of a doctrinal instructor is extremely serious for anyone. It was not without good reason that the title Master was attributed to our Lord Jesus. Only since arriving here have I really begun to ponder this profound truth. I have meditated a great deal, reflected intensely and concluded that for us to attain a glorious resurrection, there is no other path for the time being than the one walked by the divine instructor himself. His attitude is worthy of mention because he kept himself from becoming enslaved to earthly assets. In the Gospel, we see the Lord only doing good, teaching love, enlightening people, and spreading the truth. Have you ever thought about that?" After many long periods of meditation, I arrived at the realization that in human life, along with those who administer and those who obey, there are those who teach. This led me to the conclusion that in the earthly realms there are stewards, co-workers and servants. Those who teach are primarily of the third category. "Do you understand, my brother?" "Ah, yes. I had understood perfectly." Bellarmino's appraisal was profound, irrefutable. In fact, I had never heard such beautiful ideas about the educational mission. After a short pause, he continued, "Serious as ever, it certainly is strange that I failed, having known so much. My unfortunate tragedy, however, is the same as for all those who know the good but forget to practice it." He fell silent again, thinking some more, and then proceeded, "I left Nosso Lar several years ago with the task of instructing in the area of evangelical spiritism. My promises before I left here were enormous. My selfless Elisa was ready to accompany me in my toilsome service. She would be my dutiful wife, my blessed friend, just as she had always been. My job would consist of working diligently for the Lord's gospel, instructing first of all by example, and then by words. Two important colonies in the neighborhood of Nosso Lar had already sent many to serve as mediums, and they asked our governor to take part by sending competent missionaries to teach and lead. In spite of my guilt-ridden past, I applied for the position with an endorsement from Minister Jidel, who was most eager to help me. I would perform activities involving my own personal redemption while assisting in the honorable task of bringing light to our brothers and sisters on the visible and invisible planes. Above all, I took upon myself the duty of supporting media mystic organizations, encouraging my companions in struggle, who had been put on earth to serve the immortal ideal. However, I was unable to escape the entangling web of temptation. From childhood, my parents had helped me with the comforting and edifying ideas of Christian spiritism. Various seemingly random IP circumstances led me to become the president of a large spiritist center. Its services were promising, its activities worthwhile and constructive. But led by an excessive attachment to my position as captain of the doctrinal ship, I placed too many demands upon myself. 8 mediums, extremely dedicated to the evangelical effort, offered to help me out. However, I sought to put the scientific rule of infallible proof above everything else. I closed my eyes to the law of individual merit, and forgot the imperatives of personal effort. Filled with vanity regarding my own knowledge on the matter, I began to attract individuals of an inferior mental condition to our circle, individuals who held important, but ephemeral positions in philosophical culture and scientific research. Strange, self-centered intentions began to callously flourish in my personal character. My newfound friends wanted all sorts of demonstrations, and eager to attract collaborators from the area of science, I forced the poor mediums to make many long forays into the invisible realms. The results were always negative, because each person will receive, both now and in the future, according to his or her own deeds. This really aggravated me. Bit by bit, doubt began to creep into my heart. I lost the peace I used to enjoy. The mediums shrank away from my extravagances, and I began to see them as ill-willed and untrustworthy. Our meetings continued, but I progressed from doubt to deadly disbelief. Weren't we a group involved in the interactive exchange between the visible and invisible worlds? Weren't mediums merely devices to be used by deceased communicators? Why wouldn't spirits that could meet our immediate material needs communicate too? Wouldn't it be better to establish a mechanical and rapid process for spirit communications? Why were those on the invisible plane negating my aims to objectively demonstrate the worth of the new doctrine? 76. Eliza tried in vain to call me back to the religious and spiritually edifying realms, where my tormented soul could find relief. The gospel, however, is a divine book, and as long as we remain stuck in the blindness of vanity and ignorance, it will not reveal its sacred treasures. It was for this very reason that I branded it as obsolete. I went from disaster to disaster, and before I could finally settle into my mission of teaching, my esteemed friends from the arena of Earth's inferior ways of thinking had dragged me into the depths of utter disbelief. I switched from our Christian group, where I could have built an eternal structure, to the realm of politics, not the authentic politics that spiritually edify, but to the inferior corrupt politics that hinder general progress and create nothing but confusion in incarnate spirits. There I remained at a standstill for a long time, sidetracked from my fundamental goals because slavery to money had changed my sentiments. And I remained like that until I ended my days, financially successful but, with a body riddled with infirmities, with a comfortable palace of stone but a desert in my heart. Since my old inferior nature had resurfaced once more, I was bound again to unworthy spirits both in the incarnate and discarnate realms. The rest, my friend, you can guess, torment, remorse, expiation. Concluding, he affirmed, but how could it have been otherwise? How can we learn without going to school, without returning to the good and correcting the evil? Yes, Bellarmino, I said, embracing him, right. And I can see that I have come not only to a messenger center, but to a center of great learning. Headline, Montero's account: the teachings here vary. Bellarmino's friend took over the conversation. Displaying a pleasant speaking voice, he continued, I've been coming to the messenger center every day for 3 years now, and there are always new things to learn. I get the impression that the blessings of Spiritism arrived too early on the human path. If my trust in the Father were less firm, I would actually believe such a conclusion. Bellarmino, who was watching his friend's mannerisms closely, broke in, "Monteiro has a great deal of experience in this matter." "Yes," Monteiro confirmed, "I certainly have had my share of experience. I too have wandered aimlessly around in various terrestrial settings. As you know, it is very hard to escape the influence of one's environment when struggling in the flesh. The demands of the senses are so many and so great regarding the outside world that I too was unable to escape cruel misfortune." 79. "How so?" I asked. "It is that the multiplicity of the phenomena and the peculiarities of mediumship entail invaluable surprises for any instructor who has more reasoning in his head than feeling in his heart. At any time, mental corruption can sidetrack any worker who is more enthusiastic than sincere, and that's what happened to me." After a slight pause, he continued, "I don't have to explain that I too left Nosola at another time on a mission of spiritual understanding. I wasn't going to induce spirit phenomena, but was going to help with the spiritual enlightenment of incarnates and discarnates. It was an immense job. Bellarmino here can testify to that fact because we left at almost the same time. I received all the help I needed to begin my grand task, and inexpressible joy prevailed in my spirit as I went about my first duties. My mother was my devoted guide and she couldn't contain her joy. Enormous enthusiasm had taken hold of my spirit. I had a number of physical effects mediums under my direct control, as well as some others devoted to psychography apostrophe degrees and psychophony. The fascination that dealing with the invisible world had on me was so great that I became completely distracted from the moral essence of the Spiritist doctrine. We held 4 meetings per week, and I never missed one of them. I must confess that I felt a certain pleasure in instructing lower-order discarnates. I had lengthy, rehearsed exhortations on the tip of my tongue, ready for all of them. I enabled the suffering ones to see that their situation was due to their own fault. I emphatically advised the deceitful ones to abstain from their vicious lies." [Footnote: Physical effects mediums are particularly able to induce physical phenomena such as movements of inert objects, noises, etc. Headline: Cases of Obsession Earned My Impassioned Dedication. I loved to confront cruel obsessors, reducing them to nothing with my weighty argumentation. Another characteristic that highlighted my strength was the control I claimed to have over a few poor, discarnate Roman Catholic priests who were ignorant of the divine truths. I went to the extreme of patiently studying long passages of scripture, not to meditate on them with understanding but to chew on them to my heart's content. Then in the middle of a session and with the sinful notion of false spiritual superiority, I would spew them out at troubled spirits. My attachment to outward manifestations had completely disoriented me. I lit the torch for others, but I preferred the paths of darkness and forgot about myself. Only when I returned here was I able to see the extent of my blindness. For instance, at times, after a long talk on patience, in which I imposed a heavy obligation on discarnates with respect to that particular virtue, I would open the windows of our classroom and snap at the children who were playing innocently in the street. I preached to troubled discarnates to keep calm, but a few seconds later, would scold humble women at the meeting when they were unable to contain their sobs over some sick little child. I acted like that regarding the least little thing. My attitudes were just as inflexible at my place of business. Hardly a month went by that I didn't file a suit over a promissory note. I remember some of the unfortunate retailers who begged me for time, pardon or protection. Nothing would dissuade me, however. Their lawyers knew there was no way I would change my mind. I spent my days in the office figuring out the best, but not always the most ethical, way to hound late-paying clients. Then at night I would go to teach love, patience and sweetness to my fellow 81 beings, exalting suffering and struggle as blessed highways of preparation for God. I was blind. I couldn't see that earthly existence in and of itself is an ongoing spiritist session. I shaped spiritism in my own way, every protection and guarantee for myself, invaluable advice for my neighbor. Furthermore, couldn't draw my thoughts away from the phenomena. Apart from the practical sessions, my instructional activity consisted of endless commentaries about these phenomena, wordy duels, stories about uncommon occurrences, and harsh criticism of mediums. Montero paused a bit, smiled and continued. I went from error to error, distracted from what was truly essential, when a heart attack caught me completely off guard. I came here like a lunatic needing an asylum. I realized too late that I had abused the sublime faculties of speech. How can one teach without setting an example, or guide without showing love? Dangerous and rebellious spirits were waiting for me when I left the physical plane. I experienced an unusual phenomenon. My reason was asking for divine help, but my sentiments were clinging to inferior purposes. My mind was turning to heaven in supplication, but my heart was holding on to the earth. In this sad state, I found myself surrounded by malevolent beings who repeated long passages to me from our former spiritist sessions. They sarcastically recommended calmness, patience, and forgiveness of others' faults. They also asked me why I didn't let go of the world, since I had discarnated. I yelled, pleaded and screamed, but I had to bear such torment for a long time. When my sentiments of attachment to the physical sphere lessened, the commiseration of some good friends brought me here. And just imagine, my brother, my unhappy spirit was still rebellious. I still felt discontent. After all, hadn't I encouraged sessions of exchange between the two planes? Hadn't I devoted myself to instructing discarnates? Realizing how foolishly upset I was, kindly friends committed me to treatment. I still wasn't satisfied. Asked Minister Veneranda for a hearing, since she had been the intercessor for my opportunity as an incarnate. I wanted explanations that could satisfy my personal whims. The minister is always very busy, but always attentive. She refused to schedule a hearing because of the senselessness of my request. However, out of great courtesy, she visited me during a break she had set aside for rest. I riddled her ears with complaints, I wept bitterly, and my benefactress, a marvel of evangelical patience, listened to me for 2 long hours. In expressive silence, she let me tire of my long and useless exhibition. When I finally shut up, expecting her to say something that would feed the monster of my incomprehension, Veneranda smiled and replied, Montero, my friend, the cause of your defeat is neither complex nor difficult to explain. You surrendered yourself excessively to practical spiritism with humans, our brothers and sisters, but you were never interested in practicing true spiritism with Jesus, our master. Montero paused, thought for a few moments, and then said, my attitude has changed a lot since then, understand? Stunned by this profound lesson, I answered, chewing on my words like one who thinks more in order to say less, yes, yes, I think I'm beginning to. I had not tired of so many lessons, but I had learned enough for now. I was thoroughly impressed by what I had seen so far, so I didn't insist on Vicente's prolonging our stay at the messenger center. We left while large groups were actively engaged in discussing how they were going to re-establish their plans and rebuild their hopes. My friend invited me to visit the large gardens with him. Enormous rose bushes scented the light and limpid atmosphere. Trademark really impressed, I exclaimed. Who would ever have thought that mediums or spiritist instructors could have so many responsibilities? I hadn't personally known any such individuals, which explained my current amazement. Vicente smiled and reflected, you, my dear fellow, have come from the chambers of rectification. The duties there are very reserved and limited. Perhaps your impression is the result of that situation. You will see in time, however, that there are conversations here involving all sorts of lost opportunities. Have you visited any of the facilities over at the Ministry of Elucidation? So, there are enormous pavilions there that offer schooling on motherhood. There are thousands of sisters there who discuss their misfortunes as failed mothers, seeking to recoup their energies and make plans to become mothers again. There are also fatherhood preparation centers.